Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is here. And as always, this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. For you out-of-staters, you use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E. You deposit $100, you get $100. And of course, betteredge.com. You can go to betteredge.com/5 reasons, and you get $20 just for signing up. All right, the Dolphins keep doing some work here. Now they're doing some work on the defensive line after, like, we were waiting for them to do something. They finally did something. And then they made a minor splash toward the end of the day, but we'll start here. Neville Gallimore, by the way, if you go on our Discord, OnlyFans, and that's at discord.gg/OnlyFans. You can become a member there for $3 a month. I put up 2 complete games, namely because it was only 8 snaps and 16 snaps for Neville Gallimore. I picked 2 games that were competitive, 2 games that were on grass, 2 games that were on the road, and 2 games against really good opponents. One against a really good offensive line, 1 against a bad offensive line. So I put up the Eagles and I put up the Dolphins. And Neville Gallimore, in my estimation, and I'll get these guys in here to give their opinions now. But Neville Gallimore he's that 15 snap guy. He's going to help a little bit as a 0. He's going to help as a 1. He can rush the passer very little if he can gain leverage. He is strong, but he does lose technique and he tends to freelance a bit, gets a little bit desperate and tries to run in the open field when occupying offensive lineman is probably the better idea. Simon, Neville Gallimore from the Cowboys signs for $1.8 million, almost, in fact, all of it guaranteed. Your thoughts?
It doesn't move the needle for me. I quite liked him coming out of Oklahoma, actually. I remember he ran a 4.79 40 at 304 pounds, which is pretty extraordinary. But he's only started 1 game in the last 2 years. I mean, the numbers are okay, but there's been a consistency issue for me and a lack of sort of training on, really. And I wouldn't worry so much if he was with a team whose defensive line isn't notable for developing players, but the Cowboys line and their line coaches have done an outstanding job. Aiden Derda, the British coach, who's now the defensive coordinator in Dallas, I think he's done a really good job on that defensive line. And Gallimore's just one of those players that just hasn't trained on, Chris. I kind of, you know, there's a connection obviously with Austin Clark, but I just don't see it. You see flashes of really good stuff and then flashes of him just disappearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the athleticism is obviously going to be a plus for Miami. But the biggest plus is probably just that I think Austin Clark has engendered a lot of trust from us as fans, media, whatnot. I think that this was clearly an Austin Clark call. Those guys are close. I guess they work out together. Who knows? It's sort of like if you trust Mike McDaniel to make a call about running backs, then maybe you trust Austin Clark to make a call about a low level defensive tackle signing. But otherwise, if I'm just looking at it and I'm just looking at the player and I'm just looking at, the film and everything like that, I think that the thing that the Dolphins did that was even more notable than this is re-signing Deshaun Hand. Because Deshaun Hand, between the two players, I would probably rather have Deshaun Hand on the field between he and Neville Gallimore. Now, the Baltimore defense regularly rotated their defensive tackles. They had 4 deep, and they were very religious to that. That was not the case with Miami last year, with Wilkins and Sealer taking the majority of snaps, and then Raekwon Davis coming on the field when they needed a third, essentially. But so this is going to be different in Baltimore's approach. So you need bodies, you need fresh bodies to throw out there. I do think Neville Gallimore will be useful to throw out there. But between the two, I'm going to put Deshaun Hand out there rather than Neville. I think he should have played more last year based purely on how good he was. I mean, just go look at the snaps that he did have last year in that defense. And Deshaun Hand was, you know, was a very good rotator.
All right. And moving on, they kept at it today and brought back Benito Jones. He got poached that one day by the Detroit Lions toward the end of camp. Had a decent season. Lions fans were a little upset to see him go. Then they picked up DJ Reader and they could care less now. You know, but it's nice to have him back. He was a pleasant guy to talk to in camp. You know, you could do a lot worse for a guy that's going to get you 10 snaps as a zero. I think this is pretty good work because it should be dirt cheap. They were speaking to John Jenkins. If they bring back John Jenkins, I kind of like everything that they have at zero and at the one, you know, considering, you know, you still have some draft picks. You could add a draft pick to this group and you got yourself a pretty decent interior defensive line group with Sealer, the headliner, and all these other guys playing a bevy of minuscule snaps. And then you add a good draft pick at 21 or 55 and you're starting to cook with something. Your thoughts on Benito Jones coming back? My first guess is that he plays more than Neville Gallimore. Simon?
Yeah, I would agree. And I thought actually we talked about Neville Gallimore's lack of development. I actually think Benito has done the opposite. He has developed. And I thought his best year was last year against with the Lions. Played in all 17 games, 26 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 6 hits, a sack. I just thought he played really well against the run. Was a restricted free agent, not tendered, so therefore doesn't qualify as a compensatory free agent. So that's, you know, that works for us. I think he's a solid player in the rotation. I suspect he ends up playing more than Gallimore does, unless Austin Clark and Chris can unleash something in Gallimore that we've not seen yet.
Yeah, I think that just looking at last year, though, I mean, he played twice as much as Gallimore.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he had 600 snaps, I think, something like that, and Gallimore had what, like 300 maybe, and that's the kind of player that I view Gallimore to be, and that's the kind of contract he got. If you look at it, I mean, money talks a lot of the time with these players. So yeah, Benito Jones, we knew that this defense required a guy who's a little bit on the bigger side. You look at the history of the Baltimore defense with Michael Pierce, am I thinking of Justin Ellis? What was his name again? Before him, you know, bigger defensive tackles, kind of zero. It's not that they always just are playing zero technique. But they need a bigger body like that. I think Benito fits into that mold. I think he's the guy aside from Brandon Peely that kind of fits into that mold right now. So yeah, he is going to play. And that's an interesting signing in that way for the Dolphins. So, yeah. I think that, he's going to play. That's a decent signing, for Miami. Probably not done yet, but what they have is they have an NFL rotation. They have guys that took NFL snaps. You know, these are not players that, you know, we talk about Isaiah Mack and Davion Nixon. Well, those aren't really guys that took NFL snaps. You know, Neville Gallimore and Benito Jones are guys that took lots of NFL snaps. So they have guys to kind of fit into, you know, the roles that Deshaun Hand had last year, who's coming back. As a rotator, they have guys that fit into the role. Raekwon Davis, who, you know, takes snaps, but maybe wasn't a stunning player. So they have that. But, you know, if you want to criticize the unit and say, yeah, but Zach Sealer's your only, you got guys, but you have one dude, you know, like, you know, that's, and I think that that's a valid criticism, and that's why they're still going to look at the position at number 21 overall, where, you know, I keep looking at Johnny Newton, who was recruited by Austin Clark. Clearly they're taking Austin Clark's input, with Neville Gallimore, and maybe they take his input with Johnny Newton at 21 overall or something along those lines. Who knows?
All right. And moving on, then they made the kind of the headliner of today. They're signing one headliner a day, so tomorrow they'll sign somebody else for $9 million a year. Kendall Fuller. Now, he was a polarizing figure today on Twitter because some beat writers were saying, oh, he's terrible. Others were saying, no, you know, look at these stats. These stats say he's pretty good. PFF likes him. Next Gen Stats really likes him. Kendall Fuller, Simon, I wouldn't say, look, Xavien Howard, I thought was really good last year until he got injured in that Tennessee game. And you could see every game after that, he was just bad. Okay. Every game after that, including the game against Dallas, where the defense was actually pretty good against a really good Cowboy offense. He lost the ball in the lights that sparked the Cowboy comeback in the fourth. I didn't think he was very good down the stretch. And then he wasn't there down the stretch, missed the entire Ravens game because he was gone after the first drive, missed the Bills game, and then missed the playoff game. So if Kendall Fuller can manage to stay on the field and play up to his best football, you got to think that they have an upgrade, no, Simon?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was excellent last year. I think he probably just got him age-wise right about the time that you want him to. Financially, it looks a really good deal for the $16 million for 2 years. I mean, the first reaction I had was, wow, how do we get him that cheaply? I mean, obviously boosted a little bit by the kind of dearth of cornerbacks in this year's free agency market, but he plays inside, outside, he's played safety, he's smart, he's got great FBI. I think he's a really good player. Like I said, I thought he played well for Washington. And your starting cornerbacks now are going to be, you know, Ramsey and Fuller on the outside. You've got Cam Smith. We'll talk about Saran Neal, but we've also got Nick Needham and Kade Kohu coming back. And all of a sudden, that cornerback room looks pretty set and pretty solid. And yeah, I think it's an excellent pickup at a really good price point at a position of need.
Chris?
He was one of the guys that I kind of isolated when we did our little cheat sheet for the Discord, because, you know, the two higher, if the Dolphins were going to spend some money on the position, and they ended up spending some money on the position, I think Chris Greer values that position so much that he's going to allocate to it. And he and Sean Murphy Bunting were two guys that I really isolated, for really the same reasons, which is that they have inside-outside versatility. Kendall Fuller was a slot guy, you know, for much of his career, has been an outside guy, you know, for the last couple of years of his career. He's been a good performer the entire way. I think he's Mr. Versatility. He's, you know, he can be very tight in man coverage. But I think he's also good in zone and just very well experienced. So I see the inside outside versatility being really, really important, because I think Anthony Weaver let the cat out of the bag in the introductory press conference. He said Jalen Ramsey is going to be moved around. You know, that was obviously a sore point with Vic Fangio last year. And when the Dolphins hired Anthony Weaver, they obviously wanted to address that. And so when they said that Jalen Ramsey is going to be moved around inside out to try and get, you know, try and follow the best receiver, then what do you need? You need other versatile guys. You can't have a outside only corner on the field and an inside only corner on the field at the same time as a Jalen Ramsey who's going to move inside out. That does not work. It does not compute. And so you need other versatile players. Kendall Fuller is, if not the highest profile, versatile inside out corner on the market, certainly one of them. And the Dolphins did a good job signing him. I think that was a way to, you know, hold serve to me on the loss of Xavien Howard, while also fitting the new defense that you're going to do. And that's a pretty good job.
All right, finishing up here, you got to think that Saran Neal, former Bills captain, special teams captain, to go along with Anthony Walker, who was a captain last year, that's got has to be a boost for your special teams. And we're going to finish up with Jody Forston, if we know anything about him, because me, Chris and I have already gone on to Twitter to say, we don't know who the hell this is. But Saran Neal, like, that has to be a boost for the special teams, who sorely lacked it. And I guess out with Justin Bethel and in with Saran Neal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he obviously knows Danny Crossman from his time at when Crossman was in Buffalo in 2018. And clearly the Dolphins have decided not to fire the offensive coordinator, just to get, you know, some studs on that special teams unit. And, you know, we've brought in, Anthony Walker will be a special teams standout, but Saran Neal, a special teams captain, he's going to be the gunner on special teams. He ranks 12th in the league in special teams tackles since 2018. He's first in forced fumbles on special teams since 2018. He had 658 special team snaps the last 2 years. And then on defense, you know, he's a backup kind of outside corner, kind of slot guy, kind of big nickel hybrid sort of linebacker safety type. You know, he's not somebody that you want to put, you know, in open coverage on an island, but in terms of a punch you in the mouth special teamer who might just get a couple of forced fumbles in big moments across the season, yeah, it's a great pickup. It's an excellent pickup. And then Fortson actually is a guy, I mean, he's 6'4". You know, we talk about red zone threats and those sorts of things. He only has 14 career catches, 14 in 5 years, but he's a solid run blocker. He's got that sort of intriguing athletic skill set at 6'4". But, you know, you kind of think, where's he going to play? What's he going to do? Whose job is he going to take? And he missed all of last year with injury. So it'll be, I'm intrigued to see how he fits. I think they've probably just taken a bit of a flyer on somebody who's got a bit of an athletic profile, to see if it works. But, you know, when you bring it, you talk about Johnny Smith as well. Who's missing out now? Is it Julian, the rookie last year?
Julian Hill.
Yeah, Julian Hill. You know, what's happening? I'm sure Durham's not losing his job, but, there's going to be some players in there, you know, a Tanner Connor, for example, who've got to be looking at the signing of Jody Fortson and think to themselves, yep, my time could be up. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see what happens. It kind of feels like just a guy. I was looking at his combine time. I mean, he ran a 4.84. I mean, he's only 226 pounds. But, Andy Reid liked him enough to keep him around for 5 years. So we'll see if there's anything there. I suspect he probably doesn't make the team, but we'll see what happens.
Chris?
So I view actually several of these guys in the same way. And that is, looking at Saran Neal, obviously special teams guy, but they also re-signed Elijah Campbell, special teams guy. And then they signed Jody Fortson, special teams guy. He played 200 snaps on special teams in 20. I mean, he didn't play last year, but he played 200 snaps on special teams in 2022. He did only have 14 catches. He's kind of like a big wide receiver more than a real tight end. He had 14 catches, but 4 of them were touchdowns in his career. So if you're thinking about what he is, to me, he is special teams plus, in that, you know, he could actually be, if he makes the team, and that's a big if, but if he makes the team, then he could find himself active on game day because of special teams. And then he could actually find himself on the field when you get into the red zone. And what did the Dolphins have in 2022 with Mike Gesicki? They had 5 touchdowns. What did they not have in 23? No touchdowns from the tight end unit. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, special teams plus red zone is sort of like, it's almost like your basketball 3-and-D guy. It's special teams plus red zone for Jody Fortson. And what's striking to me between the three of those, Saran Neal, re-signing Elijah Campbell, and then going and getting Jody Fortson, is the Dolphins made a controversial decision to retain Danny Crossman. And a lot of fans don't like that. So a lot of fans are quite upset about that, and media are criticizing and everything like that. But they decided to keep Danny Crossman. And so I say, if he's not the problem, what was, right? That's the natural question to ask. And that leads you to, well, okay, then we'd better get him. Then we'd better get him, guys. Because if he's not the problem, then clearly the staffing was the problem. The staffing of our special teams units was a problem. And so if that's the case, we need to go get him players that he's comfortable with. Obviously, he's got that experience, as Simon said, with Saron Neal. And so what we've done is we've gotten him guys, and with Anthony Walker as well. You know, I'd put the four of them together and say, Danny Crossman, you are not the problem. Your players were the problem, but now we've given you the players. And if there's still a problem, you are the problem.
All right. And with that, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to briefly talk about what's left to do. You got to figure that they're running out of money here. Although they haven't announced any extensions or restructures for the big guys, meaning Tyreek or even possibly Tua. But first, these words.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 five-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, and we're back. Simon, what's left to do? You got to figure that. You know, no more big signings. I think their big signings have already, you know, Shaq Barrett, if he earns all of it, I guess, Jordan Brooks and Kendall Fuller is a pretty good group of headliners, including Jonnu Smith. But what's left to do with this free agency period?
Certainly guards. I think you need at least 2 new guards. I think you just need some better depth on the offensive line and wide receiver. You know, currently, realistically, we only have Hill and Waddle in terms of, you know, reliable wide receivers. They would be the areas that I'd certainly be looking at and looking to improve on. I still think there's work to be done on the interior of the defensive line. I know they've got lots of bodies, but lots of bodies doesn't necessarily mean you've got lots of talent. And that to me would be an area that I'd be wanting to look at. I mean, you know, Gallimore, we've talked about, hasn't really trained on. Isaiah Mack kind of feels like just a guy. Brandon Peely, just a guy. Davion Nixon, just a guy. Obviously, Zach Sealer, obviously Benito Jones. But, you know, it doesn't quite feel like we've got everything there in terms of receivers. Obviously, Ezekanma, they have high hopes for Tyreek. Obviously, Braylon Sanders is well liked, but, you know, has played once really, and that was in Detroit last year. Anthony Schwartz feels like a practice squad kind of edge of the roster guy. This Matthew Sexton kid they got at Eastern Michigan, again, just kind of just a guy. And Waddle, you know, obviously Cedric is a free agent, Craycraft a free agent, Chase Claypool a free agent, Robbie Chosen a free agent. Barry Jackson mentioned they were trying to sign re-sign Braxton Barrios, who's currently on holiday. Doesn't preclude him, obviously, from re-signing. But, you know, where are the wide receivers coming from? It's obviously a hugely exciting draft for receivers. But, you know, there's got to come a point where we're adding some extra talent via the receiver position. So that to me, are the two spots that really need to be looked at.
Chris?
Yeah, it's striking to me because if you look at it, I think that they're, I said before that they're kind of trying to shape up to where they can head into the 21st overall pick, going for the best available player, or at least they're chipping away at that. I think they still have work to do because they need guards, they need offensive linemen, they need wide receivers. But you know what's actually just so interesting to me about that is they need offensive linemen and they need a wide receiver, at least one, you know, wide receiver. What's this draft loaded with? You know, like, this draft is being loaded as, if you need offensive linemen, here you go. This is the draft for you. If you need wide receivers, here you go. This is for you. How many wide receivers are in Daniel Jeremiah's top 50, top 100? You know, an incredible number of them. How many offensive linemen are rated, you know, really highly in this draft? Between, and I'm not just talking about the tackles either, because some of those tackles are going to move inside to guard, especially early in their career. So, you know, this draft has linemen and wide receivers, and those are the positions that conspicuously Miami has not addressed very well yet. So that's where they need it. But I do agree with Simon that the, while the defensive line unit contains a lot of players that take NFL snaps, and I am confident that Benito Jones can take NFL snaps, that Deshaun Hand can take NFL snaps, and that even the Neville Gallimore can take NFL snaps. Along with Zach Sealer, and perhaps even Brandon Peely, because it's not, I don't think he played badly necessarily last year. I don't think he showed really bad potential last year. But we have guys that can take NFL snaps. We don't have enough guys that can make an impact. So there, I would still keep an eye on that position. But that's it right now. We're down to offensive linemen and wide receivers. We need a right guard and a left guard. We need another wide receiver that can come onto the field in 11 personnel with three wide receiver personnel and make a difference. And that's the problem, because we didn't necessarily have a guy, any third guy, be it a tight end or a wide receiver, that could make a difference catching the ball. And that's a big problem, especially on a team like Miami, on an offense like Miami, that rotates both Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle off of the field pretty liberally. You know, the other units, they keep their star wide receivers out there a little more. Miami and Mike McDaniel has believed in a pretty healthy subbing schedule for those guys. And I think that means you can't just go out there with, you know, like last year, River Craycraft and Cedric Hill as your two wide receivers, and expect to cut it. And so they're going to need a pretty big, prominent guy there.
Now, let me ask you this, Chris, before I get Simon in here. How's it looking as far as comp picks, and what are you thinking as far as trading 2025 draft capital for 2024 draft capital? Because I keep looking at this draft and I'm thinking, man, they're short one top 100 pick.
Yeah, I think particularly because they still need both guards right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe let's keep in mind June, they'll be doing some things in June. And yes, if you need a starting guard, you probably get one in June. You probably can. They could even just sign Isaiah Wynn back, you know, although he obviously won't stay healthy. But I think that, yeah, that third round pick is where you could get some quality guards in this draft. You know, I like guys like Brandon Coleman. I like guys like Christian Haynes. Probably won't make it to the third round, but there are some guys out there like Christian Mahogany and as I said, Brandon Coleman and Mason McCormick, and Tanner Bordellini is a phenomenal center prospect, but he can also play guard. You know, there are players available you can get in the third round area. So the Dolphins currently have two third rounders and I believe a seventh rounder or a sixth rounder. I think it might be the seventh.
They got a fifth, two, six, and a seventh. Is that right?
They only have three as of right now because of the signing of, I think, Kendall Fuller.
Oh, sorry. I think you're talking about Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about the compensatory picks, because yeah, that's what Alf asked about. They have two-thirds and a seventh coming to them in 2025. Now, what they can do with that is they can't really trade them because the picks haven't arrived yet. But knowing that they have those picks in the hopper, they can trade their own natural picks, their own natural 25 picks, you know, to bring that forward into 24. And they can do that aggressively. But so they might trade, you know, some combination of picks in 25 to get an extra pick in 24, address the guard position, as I was saying. But they also, I still kind of in the back of my mind, I'm still thinking, you know, I no longer believe it's going to be L'Jarius Sneed, for example, but I'm still thinking that with those two third rounders that they know they have coming next year, they might feel like they could use this 55 pick for a higher impact maneuver, a move that will have more impact right away in this year, and then the number 55 overall would naturally have as a rookie, you know, late second rounder. So I'm keeping an eye on that. But right now it's 2/3 and a 7th for 25, and I think that they could trade some of their natural 25 picks to pull that forward into 24.
And on the way out here, Simon, you would agree with that, right?
Yeah, I agree 100%. The Eagles have signed Devin White.
What's did they say a number on that?
Yeah, $7.5 million for 1 year.
That's not so bad.
All right, and I think that'll do it. The next time we talk to you, we'll have maybe a few more Dolphins to talk about, and we might begin to start touching on the draft. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.